This is KYUK Public Radio for the Yukon-Kuskokwim Delta. I'm Greg Kim. The costs of running the city of Bethel are rising. The proposed budget for fiscal year 2020 has allocated almost $500,000 more for gravel road maintenance than in years past. The police department's budget has increased by over $1 million in the past 3 years. The proposed budget for water and sewer has also jumped over $1 million in just the past year. Acting City Manager Bill Howell suggests it's organic growth.
Perhaps the new subdivisions coming online and just more people being in town.
Revenues could also increase this year. The city could see new money from marijuana sales tax, Amazon's online sales tax, and a potential second liquor store. However, none of these potential revenues are projected in this year's budget. Howell says City Council doesn't like to count its chickens before they hatch.
We have no idea how much they're going to sell. We don't know.
One other thing that stood out about this year's proposed budget was that there were many parts of it the new city administration couldn't answer for.
I'm not the manager that designed this budget.
Howell arrived into his role as acting city manager only a few weeks ago. Finance Director Christine Blake started work just a few months before him. She didn't want to comment on a budget process that she is still learning. They inherited this year's budget process and the audit for last year. That may explain why the audit still isn't finished. It's several months late. That makes the fourth straight year Bethel has been late on its audit. Last year, the city didn't even have a finance director during the budget process. Howell says they're doing better this year.
Is the new finance director and the new city manager really having to spool up as quickly as possible? You betcha. We're reading a lot of documents and trying to get caught up on where we're at. But I think we're going to be okay.
The city council will hold its last budget meeting Thursday, and it will vote on whether to pass it at the next regular meeting on Tuesday. That's the last regular meeting before the July 1st deadline. On July 1st, the council has to stop amending the budget, and the document goes into effect whether the council is finished with it or not. Next, in economy. A bill to fund permanent fund dividends of roughly $3,000 failed narrowly in the state Senate yesterday. Supporters say the state should follow the formula set in a 1982 state law. Opponents supported a lower amount, saying the bill requires reckless reductions to state savings and services.
The Senate started off with a bill that would provide for a $1,600 dividend. But supporters of larger PFDs successfully amended the bill to raise it to the full amount under the law the state followed until 3 years ago. Anchorage Republican Senator Mia Costello supported the larger dividend. She was part of a Senate majority that voted to reduce dividends the past 2 years.
Today on this floor, we have a chance to restore public trust that has been broken. I support a full dividend until the statute is changed.
Both Costello and Anchorage Democratic Senator Bill Willikowski quoted Jay Hammond, the governor who signed the dividend law. The quote Willikowski chose says dividend cuts are a form of regressive taxation.
Of all the possible taxes, the dividend tax is far the most aggressive, unfair, and economically imprudent. Children and other Alaskans with only permanent fund dividend income would pay the same amount as millionaires. Non-residents would pay nothing.
The bill would require an additional $1.3 billion in combined cuts to state spending and savings. Senator Jesse Keel of Juneau was the only Democrat to oppose the higher amount. He says cuts to services like those proposed by Republican Governor Mike Dunleavy would hurt vulnerable Alaskans more than lower dividends.
The only thing I can think of that is more regressive is cutting Medicaid to working families, or cutting off opportunities for children in poor families through cuts to K-12, through cuts to the university.
But Eagle River Republican Senator Laura Reinbold used strong language to warn against lowering PFDs.
We will be lawbreakers. We'll be taking $1,400 out of every single Alaskan's pockets. I want to remind people that PFD theft is a C felony.
Legislators have expressed concern that the legislature will repeat whatever action it takes this year in the next session. If a draw required for a full dividend is made both this year and next year, roughly 4% of the combined amount of the permanent fund and fund earnings could be eliminated. It could also cut the fund's annual growth by more than $150 million. Fairbanks Republican Senator Click Bishop made a fiery speech opposing the full dividend. He says it would put the state on a path to spending the $19 billion in permanent fund earnings in the same way it spent $12 billion in another reserve account.
Furthermore, I want to make sure the people of Alaska get a dividend for now and into the future, and I ain't going to be part and parcel of walking through $19 billion.
Sitka Republican Senator Bert Stedman introduced the bill with the $1,600 PFD. He voted against it with the higher amount. He says he compromised on cutting the Alaska Marine Highway System budget, but the higher dividend would hurt coastal communities by putting pressure to eliminate the ferries.
How do you stand before the Senate, say we're going to pay a $3,000 dividend and we're going to take away your transportation system? We're going to sell it because we don't like the expenses of it. And by the way, here's $3,000, go get a canoe.
Dunleavy says the legislature should pass a full dividend and the state budget. He says any change to the dividend formula should go to a vote of the people.
If folks want to change the statutes or believe that the statutes should be changed, they should engage the people of Alaska. And I think we have plenty of time to do that this summer and fall.
Dunleavy says he wants the budget to be smaller and believes the state can balance the budget in 2 years. The Senate could take back its vote against the bill as soon as Friday. That's when Wasilla Republican Senator Mike Schauer, who was absent due to his work as a pilot, will be back in Juneau. Schauer supports the full dividend. If the Senate passes the full PFD, it's not clear what the House would do. The House majority formed with a goal of not spending down state savings. In Juneau, I'm Andrew Kitchenman.
Finally, king salmon have been returning younger and in lower numbers than predicted in much of the state, and that has biologists wondering what is happening to the kings in the ocean. KYUK's Johanna Urich reports on research that seems to indicate a predator may be involved.
Caitlin Manishin from the College of Fisheries and Ocean Sciences at the University of Alaska Fairbanks caught everyone's attention at the recent Alaska Marine Science Symposium when she showed data from one of the three-year ocean king salmon her team caught and tagged to better understand what was happening to kings in the midst of the ocean.
My lab put pop-up satellite tags on large immature Chinook salmon outside of Dutch Harbor, Alaska, in both summer and winter months. So these tags record depth, temperature, and light, and we got some pretty unexpected results.
She pointed to a graph generated from data from one fish caught, tagged, and released on December 18th. The data shows a fish swimming up and down in the water with temperatures of 6 degrees Celsius in the Bering Sea and normal changes in light.
Then all of a sudden, on December 27th, the temperature jumps up to a balmy 26 degrees Celsius, and the tag records complete darkness for over 3 days.
The question is, what happened? What could warm the temperatures and turn off the lights? Researchers looked at the temperature. It's much warmer than that of cold-blooded fish, but not as warm as marine mammals.
We concluded that the tag is inside of the stomach of a salmon shark.
The team got the same results from close to half of the fish they released and retrieved tag data from. That's a high percentage in anyone's book. But after Manishin's presentation, other scientists pointed out that these tags are so big, they may make it easier for sharks to capture the king salmon. Furthermore, because sharks can detect electromagnetic signals, her tags may make it easier for sharks to track the kings. That could seriously skew her results.
That is definitely a possibility. It's a large tag on a fish, so it could be a lure.
Caitlin Manishin's not stopping. She plans to look deeper and try to sort out the effects predation combined with earlier salmon maturity may be having on the king salmon run. For KYUK, I'm Johanna Urich.
Thank you for listening to KYUK News. Please send any news tips to news@kyuk.org and stay tuned for news in Yukdun coming up next.